Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We got a bonus 30 minutes of the TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport with us, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. By the way, it's not official, but it is just starting to become official. It looks like we're going to have a 12-team playoff in college football. So they haven't announced anything yet, but Bill Hancock, the executive director of the college football playoff, told Brett McMurphy of Stadium, quote, "Today is an exciting day for college football fans. Makes me think we're going to 12 teams." TD, what do you think of a 12-team playoff?
I love the idea of a 12-team playoff because I'm sick and tired of schools like UCF and you know, some of these other schools. Like, daggone it, you make your own championship ring? Like, come on, man, get the heck out of here. So I think this will now give them the chance to compete for what they feel is their title, and this will give them a chance to be proven wrong.
Okay. Now it's time for questions for TD. The fans on the text line, 615-737-1025, text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what do we have for TD?
Ron texted in, and I think we have a bit of a conspiracy theorist on our hands. He texts in and says, "I feel like this was all planned a whole year ago when Arthur Smith went to Atlanta. I feel like the owners might have made a deal that, hey, you gave us Arthur Smith, we'll give you something nice back. And they knew that Julio would be ready to leave. So they made that deal probably a year ago, and that's why he was able to get Julio like we did."
That is a conspiracy.
That is a conspiracy theory.
Next!
Well, here's my thing.
And you're going to stay on it, man. Don't waste the time on that, man. We got some good questions coming. I know we do.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point. The Titans paid more than anybody
else
is going
to pay.
Ian,
you got the mute button back there? You got the mute button?
Yeah, I can't, TD.
He'd be muting you too, though.
If I could reach it, then I would have hit it much more than I have.
My thing with this, though, is it's like when people say, well, how did the Titans land Julio? They paid more than anybody else was willing to pay.
Period. End of story. Next question. Yep.
Gabe in Columbia texted in and asked, how solid will the offensive line be to protect and optimize the weapons that the Titans have invested in?
Good question. Excellent question. See, now we're talking. And I will say this, Tyson Braylow was not there today. Kendall Lamb was there. Obviously, Dylan Raidens is there. I think that's really where you look to as far as, I don't want to say a weakest link, but that's where you look to as far as, okay, a question mark. But that guard to center combo, I mean, when you're talking about Nate Davis, you're talking about Ben Jones and Roger Saffold, I think that's a really solid interior part of it. And Taylor Lewan is Taylor Lewan. I think he's still a solid player. I think he fits what the Titans want to do. So up front, I think they're going to be in really good shape. And the whole thing that you got to look at is not only does running the football help Ryan Tannehill, help A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Firkser, and Derrick Henry, it also helps the offensive line. You ask any of them, they'll tell you, I love getting the fire out and be the one to initiate the contact and just literally feeling a man as you go through 60 minutes, just breaking his will and feeling him just relinquish control and power because you just keep weighing and weighing and weighing and weighing on him. So that right there I think is going to be a positive thing. Excellent question.
What I actually think about the offensive line, I talked about this yesterday, TD, was without Jack Conklin and with Taylor Lewan hurt last year and with Saffold managing his injuries, and I think Jones maybe managed an injury or two during the year as well, it felt like they were okay last year or good last year, but they weren't mean. And at the end of 2019, they felt like they were mean. And I look to this offensive line to getting back to being just the way they were in that 2019 run, which was just mean. And I think there's kind of a difference between the two.
Right, and that's basically what I said about wanting to fire out and just, you know, feel a man's will be broken. So, yeah.
Mark from Clarksville texted in and asked about Jerod Pinkney. He said, how big of an impact do you think he could have this year?
Is he there?
You know, the best ability in the game is availability, and I don't know what the deal is, but I haven't seen him there. And I'll just say, you know, there is a golden opportunity for this young man. And, you know, I hope everything's okay, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And if it is and he's not here, like, you're really missing a great opportunity because, you know, even though – Anthony Firkser is talked up as TE1, so to speak. And, you know, he has a chance where he could become a key part of the whole rotation and support TE1, Anthony Firkser, you know, and carve himself out a nice little role, and not being here and getting just, you know, a part of install and all of that, is it's a difficult situation. So I don't know how impactful he could be, especially not being here.
Especially the way that Mike Vrabel, I think, believes in developing tight ends. And maybe this is because he was kind of a tight end himself. And you look back at it, Mycole Pruitt was a practice squad guy on the Texans practice squad. Titans signed him. He became an NFL player. Anthony Firkser was a practice squad guy. He became an NFL player. I mean, I think that they look at developing that position. They certainly don't have the money to go spend on somebody new to come in there and play that position. So I'm with you on Pinckney. And I always thought Pinckney at Vanderbilt was going to be an NFL player.
Yeah,
so
me too. Me too.
Hasn't really become that. What else we got?
The Canadian Titan texted in and asked about Rashad Weaver. He said, does Rashad Weaver being signed by the Titans say anything about his legal situation or his standing with the team?
I don't think it says anything about the legal situation or standing with the team. Well, yeah, it does say something about his standing with the team. Canadian Titans, always a good question coming from him. I think it shows that they believe everything will fall into place, and that's something kind of that Mike Vrabel has said. He said, you know, he's just going to allow that whole process to work itself out. So he's out there, and that's a good thing. I was actually surprised when he was there for rookie minicamp. I figured he wouldn't with everything going on, but we'll just have to see. You know, you still got the preliminary and an arraignment and all that stuff to still go, and as that process continues to matriculate, we'll continue to cover it.
A lot of texts in here asking about the kicking situation. Who do you think it could be? What's the kicking development looking like on the inside?
Yeah, it still looks the same, man. Tucker McCann and Halbert, you know, from Ohio State. And I watched him kick a little, not today, but the previous Thursday. And, you know, he nailed a few. But this is still like, you can't really tell anything now. You know, when they start having it to where he has to make the field goal in order for practice to be cut early, then you start to see, oh, that's a little bit of pressure. Let's see how he handles it.
I've heard from somebody in the know that they are concerned about the kicking game right now. And, you know, you're right, TD. I think they probably want to get these guys out in a preseason game or two and see what they can do. But and then if they have to do what they did last year and sign a guy that's been there and done that, and they don't want to do it, but I think they're getting a little worried. And somebody told me that the veteran kicking market might be pretty thin. Guskowski, what I've been told, has not made up his mind about whether or not he wants to play again. So he may be an option. He may not be an option. But I did hear that they are a little worried about the kicking game right now.
Brandon texted in and said, what do you think if the Titans were to play four wide and spread the defense thin? You know they have to respect Julio and AJ.
Yeah, I mean, that would be good. It has to be the right situation, you know what I mean? Because you don't just roll out there with four receivers. But I think they could definitely do that. I would, and as I said, Marcus Johnson earlier, you know, I mentioned him. I would put him in the slot or outside. He's capable of doing both. So, I mean, you could have him as the fourth guy, Cam Batson as the fourth guy. Nick Westbrook and Kenny, we haven't seen him yet. But, you know, he's obviously someone they like on the outside. So you do have the guys to be able to do that. I don't know. Or you could even have Firkser out there, right? You know, so you go 11 personnel with Firkser. So it's an opportunity for them to show a different look. I don't think you're going to see too much of it, though.
TD, where do you think Des Fitzpatrick fits in all of this?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Forgot about him. I think, you know, this situation is really good for him, actually, because, you know, before the Julio Jones trade, he was someone that a lot of eyes were going to be on, and there was going to be an expectation that he would elevate into that top three. Now it just allows him to, you know, really just fall into place. They'll rotate him in. I think it gives him a chance just to just gradually make the adjustment. That's where he falls into play. I would imagine he'll come in at times, you know, and work the slot, work outside. That versatility he brings is going to be an advantage for him. And just the ability to learn all three of the positions like he has is a positive.
What do we think about kick returner, punt returner right now?
Kick returner, I would say, is going to be Darrington Evans. And, you know, don't sleep. I would never do it, but Caleb Farley was a heck of a kick returner in his day. You know, I would never do it, but, you know, that's somebody that could make some plays back there. But I think kick returns, that's going to be Darrington Evans. Punt return, that's one that I really wonder what's going to happen there. I think that could be a way for Mason Kinsey to find his way on the roster, in addition to him being a guy that could play the slot. Now, I'm not predicting him make the roster, but, you know, he's someone that comes to mind, just like, you know, one of those guys that, you know, is really good at making people miss and just kind of setting things up, because you watch him run routes. He does that really well, and that kind of thing transfers to returning punts.
TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys. Again, we're live from the Whole Sonic Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Coming up next, TD sat down with Teddy Bruschi. What Teddy had to say on Talking with TD, we'll have TD will break down kind of the highlights for us on that one. Plus, I do have one thing that now I personally can't get off of, that I want I know TD's going to shoot it down. I know he's going to shoot it down. But I want to hear why he'd shoot it down. That's next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So, it begs the question, and Teddy Bruschi, we'll start with you. We all acknowledge Kansas City is the team to beat in the AFC. As of right this minute, yes. Teddy, who's the biggest threat to them?
Guys, I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans, and here's why. Because they're not going to attempt to outscore the Chiefs like everybody else would, bringing all of these offensive weapons. What the Titans will try to do is slow the game down and beat them up. Bloody their noses, all right? They'll be the greasers, or the Chiefs will be the socias, like in the movie The Outsiders, and it's just about grinding. That's all it's going to be about. And that's how you beat them. You don't try to outscore Patrick Mahomes. You don't try to put your receivers versus Tyreek Hill and see if you can score 40. You just beat them up, slow the game down, take possessions away so your defense can rest. I think that's how the Chiefs are beat, and I think the Titans can do that.
How we feel about talking ball with TD? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was Teddy Bruschi. I was not ready for that.
Yeah, buddy.
That
hey
was
man,
you know talking you, with TD.
You bring them on. You gotta make them laugh and make them have fun. That way they come back.
There you go, Teddy Bruschi, ESPN on Talking with TD this week. Of course, you can find Talking with TD wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you know, Teddy Bruschi this week. TD, what did you take away from your conversation with Teddy Bruschi?
Well, I took a lot away. I'm not going to give all the nuggets, because I want you
to
find
the show and
listen to it. But, yeah, you know, one of the things that I did, I asked him about the Randy Moss situation when the Patriots got him, and how does this kind of compare to that? And he was really quick to say, hey, Julio Jones to the Titans, it's different from the Moss situation, because Moss added a whole different dynamic. He felt that Jones coming here is a matter of just adding a complementary part to it. So I thought that was interesting. The Mike Vrabel comparisons to Bill Parcells, and just how much Coach Vrabel is going to be relied upon to keep that culture right and that understanding within the locker room. Those were good things. The physicality part is absolutely there. Obviously question marks about, you know, the health, you know, how will he be able to maintain his health for a full season. So it was a great conversation. I absolutely love talking shop with Teddy Bruschi, because the energy, right, and the passion, the enthusiasm, that's what he played with, that's what he talks with, and man, I just, when you feel that, you know, your blood starts to flow a little bit better and it gets warmer in your body and you just get a good feeling, man. It's just I love it.
So I do want to get to this, TD. Yesterday I was watching ESPN. Teddy Bruschi was on, I believe. And I was watching Get Up, and Dan Graziano, who obviously you work a lot with at ESPN, Dan Graziano was talking about perhaps there may be a little contract issue in Arizona with Chandler Jones. Now, Chandler Jones tore his pec last year, I believe, or his bicep, and he was out for the season. But 2 years ago, he had 19 sacks, and I was literally thinking about it. Now, when you make the move for Julio Jones and you extend Tannehill with the void years and you move the money around, you are in go-for-it mode. There is no way around it. And I look at the Buccaneers, and I know that it's easy to say, hey, go for it like the Buccaneers because they won a Super Bowl. It's easy to say go for it like the Eagles when you covered them, TD, because they won a Super Bowl. The Saints went for it. They didn't win their Super Bowl. The Jags went for it. They didn't win their Super Bowl. They've torn everything down since then. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering with the Titans if they really are in go-for-it mode, if there's even a step further that they could be in as far as go-for-it mode is concerned, and if that's the kind of player Chandler Jones, again, had an injury last year, but 19 sacks the year before that, if that's the kind of guy, you know, if you're really going for it, do you make a run at something like that? And Joe Rexrode texted me out of the blue today. I don't know if they talked about it on the morning show. I'm guessing they did because Joe texted me at 9 o'clock asking me about it. And then I never heard back other than after the show he texted me and said it was a dumb idea. What do you think about it, TD?
Well, you got $20.8 million to fit under the cap. How you going to do that?
Is that his number this year?
Yes. Whew. So, you know, hey, man, it would be a really...
Kick it on down, TD.
Yeah, all right. It would be a really good idea for me to, you know, fly down 65 in an Aston Martin Vanquish. You know what I mean? But I got to be realistic about that payment, that car note. You know, just the same. Like, it would be great to have Chandler Jones, you know, lining up for the Titans, but you got to be realistic about it. And I don't think... that $20.8 million is a number that, you know, you try and make poor Vin Marino's head explode. I mean, let's take it easy on the guy. He just did a whole lot of gymnastics cap-wise to make this Julio Jones situation work.
Chandler Jones's money is really that much?
Look it up. You better check my coach and one of my receiver coaches. He used to say, you better check the internet. I got stats. So I'm going to tell you, check the internet.
Could be told. I mean, I look at this and I think, okay, Landry and those guys. So his base salary for this year is 15.5 for Chandler Jones.
Mm-hmm. Then he has bonuses.
And so the signing bonus, I think, would stay with Arizona.
Yeah, 3.
And then I don't know if the restructure bonus stays with Arizona or goes with him.
Okay. So we're talking about $17.3 million. Either way, it's a big number. That's the point.
I mean, he's a sacker, and I love sackers. And if you're going for it, I mean, I don't know how Tampa Bay figured out how to get everybody under their cap, but somehow they figured out a way to get Ndamukong Suh, to get Rob Gronkowski, to get Antonio Brown, to get – and I just wonder, you know, like, is this it on the going for it front, or is there still more room for them to go for it? More contracts to redo, more guys to move around. You know, you could extend Ben Jones and you could move money into future years and take away from that salary this year. Like, is there a pure go for it, or is it like, okay, this is go for it enough. Now let's see how they play ball.
I mean, they signed Bud Dupree. They signed DeNico Autry. They traded for Julio Jones. Like, this isn't Madden. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't just – I think they've gone for it more than enough. I believe that. Now, you always have the option later on down the year, right? You know, you got a team that wants to make a move, and, you know, Chandler Jones is a guy that possibly later on, because he's going to be a free agent after this season, maybe in October, that's something that you revisit, and you bring him in here and you tell him, hey, look, man, just go get him. Whoever the quarterback is. I just don't know that you do that right now.
I keep thinking back to when did it feel like Tampa Bay put all their chips in the center? Was it when Brady signed, or was it later in the offseason that it felt like Tampa Bay put all their chips into the middle last year? And obviously it worked out for them.
It's Tom Brady, you know, once he was brought aboard, that's when everything else started tumbling into place. Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, you know, that's when everything started to happen.
And then Fournette got released and they brought him in on a small salary. Yep. So there's probably some of that. Like, if they're going to bring in a bigger name, it's going to be a guy who gets released, who you bring in on that kind of minimum-ish salary. TD, appreciate you as always. Appreciate you working overtime too.
Oh, man, working. That whole idea is funny, man. This isn't work. You know, I just happen to get paid to do something I love, man.
And you are fantastic at it. TD,
thank you.
Again, is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Talking with TD is out, and TD will be, I believe, on the morning show tomorrow morning as well. Teron, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
TD, he is the best. Coming up next, it looks like it is official. The college football playoff is probably going to 12 teams. We never even got to discuss why it should be 8, other than the fact that everybody and their grandma thinks it should be 8, although TD says he likes 12. So we'll, and he does make a good point. But coming up next, what do we think? It looks like college football is in on the 12. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 1025. The game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Purchase a $30 Boombas Craft Pizza and Tap House gift card for only $15. Try their award-winning pizza, 20-plus local beers, and drafts at all locations. It's the place to go to bring the family or come for pizza, beer, and sports. They have 4 Middle Tennessee locations, Bellevue, Murfreesboro, Spring Hill, and East Nashville, which has a huge video wall. Other deals that we've got include buy one, get one free for Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, $20 to Grain and Berry for a gift card for only $10. Get yours now at thegamenashville.com. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The problem with college football, they don't have any leadership. So what are they going to do? They're looking around going, who is doing this right? Where are all the eyeballs? Where's all the money? It's the NFL. That college football right now cannot compete with the NFL, even though they probably shouldn't be trying. But their numbers are inferior. So what they're going to do is just break the bank. They're going to open this thing up. And suddenly we're going to be talking about wild card games and home field advantage in college football playoff, just like we do with the NFL.
That was Paul Feinbaum yesterday on ESPN. I don't know about you, Caroline, but I have not heard anybody talk about home field until I heard Feinbaum say that yesterday morning on ESPN, right?
Yes.
Well, apparently, Feinbaum was onto something that none of us know, because it looks like the college football playoff is going to expand to 12 teams. Now, I'm literally going down this rabbit hole right now of what's going to happen in college football. And Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, I think you probably know Ross.
Yeah, he's great. Used to cover LSU.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on it for a long time.
He's great.
Apparently, there is a college football advisory committee. Okay, let me say that again. A college football playoff advisory committee. They're having a press conference as we speak right now. Excuse me. College football playoff management committee. And according to this, and again, this is all, I'm literally just reading it as we speak. They have an expansion release. They are, or their advisement to the committee or whatever is going to be for expansion to 12 teams. The earliest it can expand is 2023. The championship game would be on a neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
The semifinals and quarterfinals would be played in bowls. And the first round is going to happen in a 2-week period after the title games. The college football
conference title games.
Yes.
Okay.
The college football management committee must endorse the format at meetings on June 17th and 18th. The college football board of managers must authorize a feasibility study, and the managers would meet again in September to discuss study results. Okay. So I guess Greg Sankey's part of this. Bob Bowlesby's part of this. Bill Hancock's part of this. Bill Hancock said, quote, "This proposal at its heart was created to provide more participation for more schools." Bill, we know why at its heart this was created. And it wasn't for more participation for more schools. It was for more money in your pocketbook. That we know. By the way, I sound like an old person saying pocketbook. second thing, the earliest time they could meet is September, according to Bill Hancock, but it could be later. Jack Swarbrick, the AD at Notre Dame, who, again, why we get to pretend like he matters, I have no idea. But he says it's unlikely that teams playing in the playoff will play in a bowl game, potentially closing the door on first-round exits to playing in a bowl. Who cares?
Well, that's what I don't really necessarily understand about Notre Dame, because this proposed 12-team setup, mm-hmm. doesn't do Notre Dame or any independents any favors.
They can't have a bye, but I don't understand why they can't have a bye. So explain to me what you know about this 12-team format before I start complaining about it.
This is my understanding. The highest-ranked conference champions would be seeded 1 through 4. So let's say, you know, Alabama wins the SEC, Clemson wins the ACC, Ohio State wins the Big Ten, and Oklahoma wins the Big 12. Those are going to be your four seeds who all get a bye.
Sure.
Now, Notre Dame isn't in a conference, so they don't participate in a conference championship. So they would have to play one of the teams ranked 5 through 12 in a first round on the home field of the higher-ranked team. So I'm guessing 5 plays 12 on their own field, 6 plays 11, so on and so forth.
Sure.
So Notre Dame, nor Army, BYU, Liberty, any other independent teams would not qualify for that first round bye, but they also don't play that conference championship game. So they're at a disadvantage in the fact that they don't get a first round bye, but other teams are going to be coming into the college football playoffs after playing a conference championship. So this sounds like to me, the college football playoff committee wants Notre Dame to join a conference, or you're going to have to play that first round.
Okay. So here's my thing. This just sounds dumb, right? And I understand, like, again, they're going to have a feasibility study and they're going to do all of that. And I talked about the lack of common sense yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like college football operates with no common sense. This seems way more complicated than it needs to be. I mean, let's just get the 8 best teams in. Let's play ball, kick it off, and let's go. And then this idea of home field and not bowl games. And so you're telling me that we're going to have like an Oklahoma State hosting Stanford playoff game in Stillwater, Oklahoma?
Sounds like it.
What? Why?
I think the schools like the revenue.
This is not women's basketball, though. Like, I mean, the first and second rounds of the men's tournament is on a neutral site. Like, what? Like, why are we? Why? What's wrong with neutral sites?
I also wonder with the new 17-game structure in the NFL.
And by the way, back to that Feinbaum clip. I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's okay.
That Feinbaum clip. Feinbaum knew exactly what was going to happen before it happened.
Yeah.
Because Greg Sankey told him.
Yeah.
Like, Feinbaum knew. And he was talking about, it's dumb. It's going to be like the NFL. They're going to have home games and college football playoffs. They're going to... He knew. And this is just so pathetic. I mean, this is... I mean, this is outrageous. This is what I think. I believe ESPN, and this may be another reason why I think Feinbaum probably knew.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN's probably right in there in this negotiation.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there is a table. I mean, I guarantee you, because ultimately when the colleges start talking about making more money, they're going to ESPN to get the more money.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if ESPN owns a lot of the bowl games.
Yes.
So what they like the bowls, because you'd be stunned at the ratings they get around holiday time for bowl games. Like, they are highly rated, and especially with gambling becoming more legal around the country, I mean, you're going to see more bowl games bet on. So,
and they are all sponsored as well.
Yes.
So ESPN gets a fat check from whatever sponsor of this bowl game.
Right, the Bad Boys Motors Gasparilla
Bowl. Outback and
yes.
Duke's Mayo Bowl.
So I think they probably looked at it and said, we don't want, for we talked about the Music City Bowl becoming one of those early round things.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how, okay, well, what if you made it the early round thing? I think they want the Music City Bowl in the Music City Bowl's place. I think they don't want to lose what they get out of the Music City Bowl. So instead, you don't create bowl games. You just play them on college campuses, and it's just adding games. It's not taking away from something you already have. It's adding that inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN's probably a part of this discussion. I think ESPN probably wants a full Death Valley at LSU for an LSU versus Texas, you know, playoff game. Alabama's going to make the playoff. They're going to be the number one seed. They're going to have the bye. But let's say Texas or Baylor or, you know, whomever, Stanford, they make it to the playoff as the 9th team. So the 9th team would play who? The 8th team under this?
Numbers are hard. I don't know.
That is correct. No. Yes.
It would. Okay. So we've got number 8 LSU hosting number 9 Stanford. They're probably thinking, oh my God, imagine a night game at Death Valley, LSU, 8 o'clock kickoff, Stanford, LSU, and a game that has meaningful implications to it, and we don't have to share it with CBS. Now, it wouldn't matter because I think 2023 is when the CBS package is up, but we wouldn't have to share it with anybody. Oh my God, it's just free money for them, and it's free money for the teams, and it's free money. So here's my other question. Is it really that bad? Like, I've complained about this 12-team playoff thing because I think it's stupid. And I think home playoff games in college football is stupid. And I don't like it.
Because it's different? Why don't you like it?
That's what I want to get to.
Yeah.
Because it's college football. Everything that matters in college football is supposed to be played on a neutral site. I don't like the idea that Georgia practically gets a home game if they make the SEC championship game, but I understand it.
But that's how every other sport operates.
Not basketball.
What do you mean not basketball?
Men's basketball is
like
everybody
college
plays.
Basketball?
Yeah. Men's basketball is everybody plays, and then you get put wherever, no complaining allowed, and then you're going out to, you know, Lafayette because you're the 6 seed and they're the 3 seed, and here you go. I mean, that's just me. But then it goes back to, okay, should I actually be complaining, or am I just a grumpy old man with his newspaper who's trying to swat you off the lawn?
I think it's the latter.
Home games in the playoff?
I think that you're just afraid that it's something new and it's something different.
Home games in the playoff. But I liked the playoff when it was introduced, and I like 8 teams.
I want eight teams.
I don't want 12 teams.
I'll go ahead and put that out there. I don't like 12 teams.
They have no interest in 8 teams. And I have no idea why they have no interest in 8 teams.
You know who would have been in the college football playoff last year if the same proposal was applied last year?
Oh, don't tell me.
Indiana.
Oh, God!
You know who Indiana would play
in
that first round? Cincinnati.
Oh, God! I can't. What are we turning college football into? Oh, God. Indiana in Cincinnati.
Coastal Carolina would have played Iowa State.
Oh, God.
But Notre Dame would have played Georgia. That's a good one.
This is college football. Imagine the old grandpas that would have turned over in their grave across the country when they saw an ACC logo on Notre Dame's field last year. They wouldn't have believed it. These are people that defended our country in wars that would have lost their minds if they had seen ACC on a Notre Dame logo. And now you're telling me about Indiana and Cincinnati? Oh, my God. Oh, my. You know how I know ESPN is pulling the strings on this? Because that's a perfect game for ESPNU. That's where that game should go. Holy crap. Indiana, Cincinnati. Oh, my God. What a joke. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God.
My gosh.
You know what it is? ESPN got the rights to the NHL, and they said, you know what? We got to start talking more about hockey. So let's make college football more irrelevant by having Indiana play Cincinnati.
I don't even know what to say.
Hey, congratulations, Indiana. You pulled off that one against Cincinnati. Now here comes Alabama. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Where's Floyd when you need him? Oh, my God. He lost his mind. Oh, my God.
Are we good? Do you need a second?
I you know what? Fine.
Congratulations to the Hoosiers, 2020 national champions.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I'm like literally in tears over here.
See, it's the Coastal Carolina-Iowa State game for me.
I'm okay. Like, I mean, yeah, like, but like, at least give the little guy a chance. Fine. And Iowa State, you know, they got a coach that will never leave there for some reason. And it looks like they're, you know, they're, like Iowa State, it's amazing what Iowa State is doing compared to what Texas is doing in the Big 12. Like, it's amazing.
Yes.
Because who the hell wants to go to Ames, Iowa? But, like, Indiana and Cincinnati. Like, are you kidding me? Like, seriously. Are you kidding me?
Someone just texted in and said, Jared's broken.
This is so stupid. Like, oh my goodness, this is college football. Oh my God, this is college football. Remember yesterday when you were like basically accusing me of not liking college football?
Yeah, because I don't think you really do.
Because I don't want to watch Indiana play Cincinnati?
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
However, like, you know, like the Big Ten, like Big Noon kickoff. I like those games. I'll watch a Wisconsin, Nebraska. What's wrong with that? Go Huskers.
Give me Indiana, Cincinnati. 615-737-1025. Oh my goodness. That is a take. 615-737-1025. College football playoffs going to 12 teams. They're going to have home games in the playoff. And you know what the best part is? All these commissioners and all these old P-pops are going to look at us with straight faces like, this is great for college football. So, you know what? Have at it.
But
knock
why is it
out.
Not great for college football?
We'll get to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Delivered by TriStar Moving and Streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Yeah, they're overthinking this right now based on what we know right now. Caroline's right that we don't know exactly what's going to happen. There's plenty of time to pass before they'll get to it. But Pete Thamel on Yahoo Sports has a really good article up on the research that he's done that indicates to him that the lean is towards 12 teams because they think that'll be the path of least resistance. It'll give the most people, the most programs, teams, conferences, a little bit of something so that they won't pitch a fit. And I tell you, if they go to 12, I will pitch a fit. That would be a horrific mistake.
That was Trevor Maddich on our show. Guess what, Trevor? Guess what?
Surprise.
They're going to 12. Okay, recap us and then we're right to your phones, Caroline.
Okay, so this new redesigned proposed 12-team playoff.
Which they just dropped on us.
They just dropped, yeah. So nothing is confirmed, but this is just the most recent proposal. So the four highest ranked conference champions will be ranked 1 through 4, and each of those teams will receive a first-round bye. Teams 5 through 12 would each play each other in the first round on the home field of the higher-ranked seed. So this is how the 2020 CFP would have looked in this proposal. 1 Alabama, 2 Clemson, 3 Ohio State. Groundbreaking. 4 Oklahoma, 5 Cincinnati, 6 Coastal Carolina, 7 Notre Dame, which I thought was very interesting because Notre Dame was in the CFP in the top 4. They're ranked 7 in this revised proposal.
Probably more where they belong.
Yes. Texas A&M 8, which they were 5 in last year's CFP, so not really sure how that's happening. 9 Florida, 10 Georgia, 11 Iowa State, 12 Indiana.
God. Which sets up for that great game. Indiana on the road taking on Cincinnati.
Go Bearcats!
Somebody texts me and goes, who's calling that game? They go up to Brad Nessler. Yeah, I mean, they go up to Brad Nessler and they ask him to call that game. He's like, no.
That's a Fowler Herb Street lineup right there.
No, yeah, they are not calling that game. They will not call that game. It is in their contracts that they will not call that game. I think that's the game you're getting Clay Matvick and Dusty Dvoracek or whatever.
No,
that's the game.
No offense to them.
You're getting them on
wonderful.
That game.
Yeah.
Tom Hart, Jordan Rodgers will have the call. They wouldn't even have Tom Hart and Jordan Rodgers on that game. That game is beneath them. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Michael has been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Michael.
Thanks for taking my call. First off, I've never heard you laugh that hard in the many years that I've been listening to this show. So thank you for that. That made my day. But
me too.
At this point, like, if we're just going to expand to 12 teams in the college football playoff, what's stopping them from going to 16 in the future? Or say, just throw your hands up in the air, anybody that's nationally ranked 1 through 25, we're going to have a 25-team playoff. We don't know how it's going to work, but we're going to do it anyway. What's stopping them from doing that in the future? what's stopping the NFL from going to 16 games or the NBA at this point from saying, all right, hey, if you play in the league, you're going to be in a quote-unquote playoff tournament at this point. Or MLB going from, like, however many teams they have to, like, half the league. It's, where does it stop at this point with just all this expansion of playoffs that we've been seeing recently?
Let me answer your question. Thank you, Michael. It never stops. Now, I think the where does it stop argument is used a lot of times for a lot of things over time. And, like, even social issues. It's like, where does it stop? If we let this happen, then what? You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when you look back on, say, go back to something that was debated in 2003 and see when they're like, hey, if we let this stop, then what? And you'll be like, oh, my God, these people were kind of, you know, whatever.
If we create the internet, then what will happen after that?
Right. So there's a lot of that. That being said, I mean, there is, in my opinion, there is no end in sight in expanding playoffs in sports. And it drives me insane, but I mean, that was the big argument for not going to a playoff was, well, if you go to four, then five will be upset. Then you'll go to eight. And if you go to eight, then nine will be upset. So you'll have to go to 16. And then all of a sudden it becomes basketball. And there is something to that. That's why I never, and my team, I think like either two of the last 3 years or three of the last 4 years, my team has been one of the last teams or one of the first teams out of the NCAA basketball tournament, Louisville. We're, it's Selection Sunday. I don't think we're going to make it. I'm looking around. We don't get in. And then all the Louisville people get all mad that they're not in. And I've never complained. Because my thing is, if you're not one of the best, like, 30 at-large teams, then go home.
Right. If you're upset about it, then play better.
Right. Like, okay. Like, I'm not going to complain about that. I think there's, it's a fair question. But, I mean, as we talked about yesterday, eight seems fair. Like, eight seems fair. And I kind of feel like, you know, it's basic common sense. Let me ask you guys, right? You, because you guys have disagreed with me plenty of times. Anybody got a problem with eight? Ian?
No, no problem with eight.
Caroline, got a problem with eight?
Love eight.
Okay. Like, I don't get it. But nope, we got to have Indiana and Cincinnati. Holy crap, what a just. And you know what the worst part about all this is? I'm going to watch. Like, that's the
right.
Worst part.
Yeah.
That's the worst part is that I'm going to watch.
That's like I say every year, oh, if it's just an Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State college football playoff, I'm going to be so annoyed.
Although the
I
ratings,
say as I sit down on my couch to watch the game.
The ratings are telling people that they're not watching as much of that anymore.
I think people are sick of it. And we kind of discussed that college football, college basketball, sports at large need those blue bloods, but you need a shocker. You need one, an underdog. That's what people love.
Indiana and Cincinnati.
Indiana is what you need.
Oh, holy
that's
crap.
That's your underdog right there.
What's in our text line?
One texter texted in and said, asking about Notre Dame, do you think Notre Dame will be forced to join a conference if there is a 12-team playoff? My take? Nope.
So here's my thing on Notre Dame. I would like to equate Notre Dame joining a conference with legalizing marijuana, right? Like, it feels like we've gotten a lot closer in recent years to just full-on legalization in America of marijuana,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it feels like in the last handful of years, we've gotten a lot closer to Notre Dame joining a conference, right?
Yes. Well, they did last year. They were forced to.
And the only people that really don't like marijuana and the only people who really don't like Notre Dame being in a conference are old people, right?
That is probably fair.
Okay, it's a little bit of a generalization, but generally speaking, because it's a generalization, but for the most part, like, we'd agree. Like, if you told young people today, hey, Notre Dame's joining the ACC, they'd see it on their phones and they'd go on about their day.
Yeah.
You go to an old person that loves Notre Dame, that remembers Rudy, and you tell them that Notre Dame's joining a conference, oh my goodness.
Well,
I would equate that to like telling that old person, like, hey, your spouse cheated on you.
Yeah.
Is like saying Notre Dame's joining a conference. Like, they could not live with that idea.
Any Notre Dame fan, I think, young or old, I worked with a few Notre Dame alum at ESPN, and the sheer thought of Notre Dame playing in the ACC made them nauseous.
Like, let me say this about Notre Dame. That campus sucks. Like, it's,
I think,
like,
it's pretty cool.
No, I mean, like, it's okay. But, like, I worked in women's hoops. We played Notre Dame because they were in the Big East when I was in college, and now they're in the ACC in hoops. And, like, it sucks. Like, it's cold.
It's cold.
And it's that snowy ice water kind of slush mix, and it's, like, it's that, and the campus is kind of a dump, and, like, like, I'm just not into it. Now, again, I'm not Catholic, so maybe there's probably something to that. But, like, again, young people do not care about Notre Dame. Does not register with a young person
unless
about Notre
Dame. Unless they went to Notre Dame.
Unless they went to Notre Dame. And only, you know, considering that a small percentage of people who make up college football fans actually went to Notre Dame, there's not that many. You go to 75-year-olds, and they will tell you about, oh, my God, Notre Dame joined a conference. I just could never. I mean, Rudy and, oh, my God, on Newt Rockne, and it's just, we just can't do it. And it's like, all right, fine, whatever.
But that's the funny thing is, it's literally just football. Notre Dame is in a conference in every other sport.
Sure.
But I mean, football. So I don't understand the big deal about, you know, if your men's basketball team can play in the ACC, why can't your men's football team? And I get it. Football is sacred. However, it just made sense to me.
I mean, if we can, again, not to go back to the marijuana topic, but again, they seem very parallel, right?
Yes.
Like legalizing marijuana and Notre Dame joining a conference.
It wasn't unmentionable back in the day.
Oh, my God. You talk to old people about weed?
Oh,
And they're like, and look, I'm not this like huge like Mr. Johnny Smokes It. Like, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not like saying, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. But I'm also the kind of guy that if somebody else wants to do it, like, there are a lot of worse things you can do around me that would make me think less of you, you know, kind of things.
Right.
And when I was a kid and, like, you know, college-aged and outside of college, like, I thought people that smoked weed were bad. I was like, honey badger, bad guy.
That's what I thought about Tyrann Mathieu.
Bad guy.
Not a team guy.
Oh, bad guy. And now it's like, yeah, do like smoke weed too much. Now, I will say this. The people like the Le'Veon Bells that can't put it down, like,
that's a problem.
That's an issue. But again, it's like Notre Dame joining a conference. Like, eventually it'll happen. It'll happen when the money from NBC, and I don't think it's that great anymore. Like, it's not what it used to be. When the money from NBC doesn't match the amount of money that the ACC teams are bringing in, when Virginia Tech is bringing in a bigger check than Notre Dame, then Notre Dame is going to have to join a conference. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Well, we got to get better at breaking news because we just went nuts over there. Coming up next, we'll hit the headlines with Caroline. Plus, there is one thing I read today that I can't get over. Like, everybody else just seems to dismiss it like it's just normal. And for some reason, I can't get over it. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're delivered by TriStar Moving, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.